Hi, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. Yesterday was one of those days where the world stock markets tend to go down in sync. And the headline for the major cause for the drop was that the yield curve had inverted not only in the United States, but in the UK as well. What does that mean when the yield curve has inverted? Does that mean something about interest rates? What does it mean?
The easiest way I describe it is let's go to something simple. Let's talk about GICs, right? Generally speaking, when you bought a short-term GIC, you bought a GIC for 1 year, let's say you'd be paid 2% on it. If you went for a short-term credit in your bank account, you'd be paid 1% on it. If you started by a five-year GIC, you'd probably get about 3.5% on that. And what it's been is, generally speaking, the longer the term that you're willing to take on the investment, the higher interest you'll be paid for that. And that's sort of the norm that's been around for years. But occasionally what happens is when we go into this thing that we call an inverted yield curve, it means that longer-term money actually costs less than short-term money. And what it's mean is... what it will mean is the expectations in the future are that the cost of borrowing will be less in the future than they are now.
So if I gave you $10,000 and I could give it to you either for a year or 5 years, you'd give me a better rate at 5 years?
That would generally be the case. But at this case, what happens, I would give you... I would be willing to pay more money for the 1 year mark than the 5 year mark.
Interesting. So I saw another piece that said, if you look over the last 50 years and the six different recessions that we've had, that an inverted yield curve preceded all six of those recessions.
Yep.
So does that mean that we've for 100% guaranteed that we're going to get a recession?
No, it can be an indicator, but it can also not be an indicator. And what I mean by that is it definitely can be an indicator when a recession comes, but there is many more times when we've seen this negative yield curve when there was no recession following it. I forget what the stats were. Were they?
I think the stats are that there have been actually the yield curve's gone negative 18 times over the last 50 years with six recessions. In other words, it's like a third of the time it's accurate. But the other way of looking at it is two-thirds of the time it's not accurate.
Yeah.
Right? You got to flip those things around because you get scared when a third of the time this is going to happen. But if you look at it instead the other way, it's two-thirds that this thing is relevant.
And if you take into the fact that the market goes up more than down, so if you use the yield curve as your only indicator and you decided if I see an inverse yield curve, I'm going to pull money out of the market, two-thirds of the time, you would have made an incorrect decision.
So back to market timing and how difficult is it. Let's go to interest rates in general. You know, the government has lowered the interest rates in the short term. Started with the U.S., they lowered it, and Canada has followed suit now. Is that good for the economy? Is it bad for the economy? Is it good for the average household? Is it bad for the average household?
So go back to some economics 101 on all interest rates, because people always hear what's going on with interest rates, but let's get into the reasons why they do it. Right? The government has two things. They have a monetary policy and a fiscal policy. And whenever you hear interest rates, it's around the monetary policy. And that's basically controlling the supply of money that's out there for people to deal with. Fiscal policy is government policies. That's creating jobs, building roads, things like that to create money. So we're concentrating on the monetary policy. Monetary is when you find the economy is doing really well, what the government would do is they generally want to make sure the economy doesn't become overheated. So as it continues to grow, they will continue to raise interest rates. Now, this slows the inflation rates and does some things like that to keep the economy in control because you don't want a runaway economy. We saw that back in 98, 99 when the economy was running away too quickly. And whenever an economy that grows too fast, we know it's going to correct too fast too. And this is where we have big crashes in the economy and big recessions. So the government is trying to keep a control on that. So as the economy becomes overheated, they will generally raise the interest rates.
So if we go back to last year, they were raising interest rates. And in general, the stock market didn't like it.
Yep.
So the stock market went down because they were raising interest rates.
Yeah.
And the expectation going into 2019 was that they were going to continue to raise interest rates.
Yep.
Then all what happened?
Well, all of a sudden we had all of this tariff war going on with China. So Trump started this tariff war, and then there became fears of the economic future. And as soon as that came in, what they had to do is they had to do something to spur in the economy. And down in the U.S., what they did is they put some pressure on the Federal Reserve to lower the interest rates. And when they lower the interest rates, if you think of remember we saw Eugene Fama about 2 years ago. He had this great concept. He said the current price of a company is based on the present value of the future cash flows of that company. And it seems very simple, but it's one of the smartest analysis of how company prices work that I've heard. And if interest rates are lower, a big expense of companies is carrying interest. So if you lower their carrying costs, their expected future cash flows from that company will be higher, right? So, and if you do the opposite, if you raise interest rates, that's going to cost these companies more, and their expected future cash flows will go down. So I always keep that in the back of my mind to understand how this is going to affect the stock market. So when you lower interest rates, their expenses go down, which means they're going to make more money in the future, which should make those stocks worth a bit more money. And generally speaking, when we see these interest rate changes, the immediate effect on the market, if they lower interest rates, is the market will have a great day. If they raise interest rates, the market's going to have a pretty poor day.
I always think there's a bit more to it. I always think that the market itself hates uncertainty. So whether rates are going up a quarter point or a half point or coming down a quarter point, the market just says, wow, okay, that's uncertain. We don't know what's happening now.
Yeah.
And because often they will raise or lower rates by a quarter point, but then they'll project in their notes what they think may happen in the next meeting, whether rates might continue to go up.
Absolutely. And a lot of it is even based not on what happens. Sometimes it's anticipation of what they think is going to happen. Sometimes a no change in interest rates will be just as disastrous as change in the interest rates because they expected to see a change in interest rates. So it just sends signals out. But this is the government's way of controlling the economy and keeping it so it should have steady growth.
So I remember a study that was, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal, and they had brought in the top economists every 6 months. And their job was to predict which way interest rates were going to go in the next 6 months. And they did this for over 20 years. And the data was very interesting. These are the top economists in the world that they chose at the time. And you would assume those people had inside knowledge of where interest rates would go in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
The data was that they were wrong 70% of the time. So if those people are wrong 70% of the time and only accurate 30%, and remember, they had a 50-50 chance. All they had to say is higher or lower. And, or I guess they could have said neutral, but they were wrong 70% of the time. We don't stand a chance of predicting which way interest rates are going to go. No. So why worry about it?
It's one of those things that you should, as far as a long-term investment, it should be totally ignored. Because it would distract you from the main purpose of investing.
Let's talk a little bit about recessions. Should we worry if a recession does come? There is a third chance that there's a recession, whether it's in the US, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in both, or whether it's a global recession. Should we really worry about that? Or should our clients worry about it?
Well, I always even like to change the thing to from if to when. Right? There's no if. We are going to go through a recession at some period in time and just when it's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of people worry because we've been 10 years without a recession, right? So we've been through market corrections and some things over the last 10 years, but we haven't really hit a big recession. But there's a few signals out there. You go through and you see we have the inverted yield curve. Okay, that's a sign that indicates there may possibly be a recession coming. But the unemployment numbers our employment numbers are phenomenal right now.
People can't find people.
Yeah, which is never related to a recession. Every recession I've seen in the past has had unemployment has been a big piece of it. It's hard to see a massive unemployment problem hitting us very quickly with where things are now. I mean, it could happen, but it's a big change from where things are now.
Absolutely. The other thing I think about recessions is, you know, a recession is defined as negative growth in your GDP for 2 quarters or 6 months time period. So 2 quarters in a row. But if you think about it, most of the time you have a recession, it's only a drop of 1 or 2%. In other words, the economy is still going at 97, 98% of its capacity.
Yep.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it's only a rare time that we go to maybe 90% or 92%. Those are big, great recessions, but they don't happen. They happen once every 50 years.
And we've been through the last recessions. I mean, people were still driving the cars. People were still eating in restaurants. People are still shopping in the malls. Sometimes when you hear about a recession, you think the streets are going to be empty and people are just going to be sitting there home eating Kraft dinner. That's not how I've seen them in the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have any predictions on where interest rates are going?
None at all.
I'm with you on that. This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart with TMFG.
You have been listening to the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources, however, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.